We are dealing with a series that we're dealing with the hidden prayer. This is your personal prayer. And just thoughts to orient our thinking as we go to prayer. I want to talk tonight about the direction of the mind. The book that I'm following is Hidden Prayer. And he mentions that in 1550, long before he was alive, in an eastern county of England called Essex, a group of believers gathered to discuss the ordering of worship in their church. The main point they discussed was the matter of prayer. They asked if the one praying should stand or kneel or have his head covered or uncovered. And in the end, they decided that far more important than the outward position was the inner direction of the mind. Inner direction of the mind. In the scripture, we have Solomon standing before God, kneeling before God, laying out flat on the floor before God as he was praying. And this was just at the dedication of the temple. So we have Nehemiah standing before the king and ask a question, "What do you want?" And he says, "I prayed to God and answered the king." So there wasn't any kneeling, wasn't any, probably any bowing right then. Just immediate thought went to him. So there is no standard, there is no required position. Now, as we pray, we tend to treat our body, our mind, our attitudes are influenced by our body. I don't know if you can do it while you're sitting down, but if you put your fists on your hips and you put your elbows forward and you stick your chin out, there's just an attitude that comes with this, you see. So that's not the way that you want to pray. So what do? We kind of collapse down. We perhaps fold our hands, but we bow our heads. We humble ourselves. We lower ourselves before the Lord. And that's not a requirement. It's just that it speaks in the process. It speaks of how our attitude is toward Him. So let me share with you three things tonight. One, the direction of the mind. Realize the presence of God. Before you pray, don't say prayers. A lot of people are saying, say prayers for this, say prayers for that. That's religious talk. It's not Christian talk. We don't say prayers. That's where you say, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And I prayed that every night as long as I came to consciousness as a child. But I wasn't really praying. I was saying prayers. I was reciting prayers. That's what the Muslims do. They memorize Arabic words to speak to God. We need to pray. So as we are ready to speak to Him, don't you think there's a bit of a, before you speak to, I don't know, your father, you think about who it is you're talking to, before you speak to your mother, before you speak to your great aunt. You think about who it is you're talking to and how your words should be, dare I say, crafted. Well, this time realize the presence of God. Ephesians 2:8, "And hath raised us up together," God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are elevated with Him, see, and we are seated together with Him in heavenly places. So He is as close to us as our heart is to us. Notice Jesus spoke to God alone on a mountain. This is where nobody is around. Most people weren't even awake by that time, because He'd go there long time before dawn and pray. So it speaks of speaking, it pictures speaking face to face. It's just He and God Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Preacher Jeremy Taylor said, place thyself in God's presence. This is a mental thing, you see. Place thyself in God's presence. Behold him with the eye of faith. Let thy desires actually fix on him as the object of thy worship and the reason of thy hope and the fountain of thy blessing. Very mind-directional. You think of God as you're praying. Brother Lawrence said, sometimes I consider myself there as a stone before a carver, whereof he is to make a statue. Presenting myself before God, I desire him to form his perfect image in my soul and make me entirely like himself. You don't have to think this, you see, but it's what these men did, these men who gained a reputation for being a Christian. So realize the presence of God. Don't just bow and recite a prayer. Secondly, realize you must be absolutely honest. I've told the story about when I was a youth pastor for a while, and I was bowing in prayer about the revival coming up, and I said, oh Lord, I'm so burdened about this revival, and I just stopped right there because I knew that wasn't true. And who did I think I was talking to? Somebody that didn't know what my heart was like? This would... God is going, oh yeah, sure, you know. The psalmist spoke frankly to God of his frustration. You notice that? He says, God, are you there? Are you listening to me? He's just very, very blunt about it. It teaches us that God wants us to be perfectly honest with him. Isaiah 41:21, God says, produce your cause to come near, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the king of Jacob. He says, bring it on. I want to talk to you about this. See? So never imagine you can hide your lack of faith or deceive God about your sin. You must deal with him in absolute honesty, more honest than you deal with yourself, more honest than you deal with anybody else. Because he sees you, the real you, more than you do. Deal with him in absolute honesty, or else talk to yourself in self-deception. Just blather, you know. Don't even worry about it. You're just talking. But if you're really praying, aim at absolute honesty. Genesis 6:5. Here's what he knows. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and notice, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. The King James margin tells us here. Or, the whole imagination. The Hebrew word signifieth not only the imagination, but also the purposes and desires of the heart. The purposes of your heart. When we're starting to pray, we probably don't know the purposes of our heart, but he does. It was only evil continually. It was evil every day. Again, in 1 Chronicles 28:9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Why? For the Lord, the Jehovah here, searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. When you don't understand exactly how you're feeling, how you're thinking, he does. So you scramble to try to be as honest before him as he sees you. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The psalmist invited God into his innermost heart, into his innermost thinking. He invited him in. Let's see. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Test me. know my thoughts. And this is the attitude that we need as we go to prayer. Before we talk about the things that we're interested in, we become completely, fully, absolutely honest before God. And then the third thing is this, come in faith. We're not just doing this because we came here to talk about praying and stuff. We're doing this because we believe that God is, that God listens, and that God acts upon prayer. Accept that no miracle is impossible. So come in faith. You're saying, well, the person has stage 4 cancer. People can't live like that, but I'm going to pray for them anyway. Recognize there is no miracle that's impossible with God. Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your, they asked, why couldn't we cast the devil out of this man's son? And he said, because of your unbelief. Here were the disciples doing all this great work, but they had unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, tiny little seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. I remember Bobby Brown telling us the story of a boy that, I think he was in Japan. I can't remember exactly where. It was an Asian country. And there was a mountain that blocked his view of, I don't know, something on the horizon. And he said, well, God said, I could just ask. And so he asked. And the parents were interested to find out that the next day in the papers that one of the big industry companies there said, we're going to level this mountain to put in something there. And he asked, and it just happened. Cast the mountain out. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld him and said with them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When we talk about, you know, moving a great boulder or something, we think about it as terribly hard because we can't do it. But I bet God could. Of course God could. He invented the boulder. When there was nothing, he invented an entire universe. The things that we call impossible are basically just difficult because we are who we are, living in what we live in. But he's completely outside of that, you see. Nothing impossible. All things are possible. Mark 10:27, Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Luke 1:36-37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 18:27, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And so, impossible with men, perhaps with doctors, perhaps with other things, but not with God. Let me reference you to Brother Webb's comment on Susan. What is it? Kathy. Yep. Right. Accept that God is your Father. Here's the way to proceed. He is not just this overwhelmingly impossible being. He is that, but he is also your Father as you become a Christian. So recognize three things. Recognize his love to you personally. Recognize his authority over you personally. And recognize his acceptance. You are his child. Have confidence to enter the presence of the Father in his Son, Jesus Christ. Luke 11:13. He gives this parallel. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. He asked them a test question. If your son asks for a fish, do you give him a snake? Eat this. No, you don't do that, he says. So if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. How much greater a Father is he? Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved is Jesus Christ. And we have become accepted because we are in Christ, and we are as accepted before God as Christ is before God. And then finally, Hebrews 4:15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Now, looking up this word, and it means with unreservedness in speech, not holding anything back. That's pretty bold, especially when you're talking to somebody as important as God. No, with unreservedness in speech, no hesitancy. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. We're coming to a throne, but on the throne is our Father, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Mercy means he doesn't hurt us because of what we've done. He has mercy. And grace means he gives us help when we don't deserve it. Find grace to help in time of need. So, tonight, as we pray, let's think this over and realize that, in fact, we need to have that direction of mind.